Meeting will come to order. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the March 24th, 2025 Rules Committee meeting. I'm Supervisor Stephen Sherrill, Acting Chair of the Rules Committee, and I'm joined this morning by President Mandelman. Our clerk is Victor Young, and I would like to thank Eugene Labadia from SFGov TV for broadcasting this meeting. Mr. Clerk, do you have any announcements?
Yes. Public comment will be taken on each item on this agenda. When your item of interest comes up and public comment is called, please line up to speak on your right. Alternatively, you may submit public comment in writing in either of the following ways. Email them to myself, the Rules Committee Clerk, at victor.young@sfgov.org. If you submit public comment via email, it will be included as part of the file. You may also send written comments via U.S. mail to our office at City Hall, 1 Dr. Carlton B. Goodlett Place, Room 244, San Francisco, California, 94102. Please make sure to silence all cell phones and electronic devices. Items acted upon today are expected to appear on the Board of Supervisors' agenda of April 8th, 2025, unless otherwise stated. That completes my initial announcements.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. I would like to make a motion to excuse Chair Walton, Supervisor Walton, today.
Yes, on the motion to excuse Chair Walton, Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Acting Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Walton excused. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. Would you please go to item number one?
Yes, item number one is a motion amending the Board of Supervisors' Rules of Order by adding a new Rule 5.22.1. Members participation during parental leave and adopting a parental leave policy for the Board of Supervisors.
I first want to extend my congratulations to Supervisor Sauter, who is expecting the birth of his first child any day now. And I want to welcome Jen Lowe, Legislative Aide to Supervisor Melgar, to the chambers today to speak on this motion.
Thank you, Acting Chair Sherrill and President Mandelman. This motion, as you've heard, will amend the Board Rules of Order to formally include a parental leave policy that mirrors state and city policy to provide the ability for members to take official leave to bond with their new children and to be supported in that role. It will also allow a board member on parental leave to participate via teleconference as provided by the Brown Act. So this effort has taken quite some time. As many of you know, it has taken decades since former Supervisor Alietta Peer led the way by having to navigate her own pregnancy and parental leave as an elected official on this very board. She brought this issue to the voters in 2006 through a charter amendment to allow for the remote teleconferencing ability for a board member or commissioner to teleconference in the event they aren't physically unable to attend due to pregnancy or childbirth. However, the Brown Act was very limited at that time and required that anyone using the teleconferencing provision had to publicly disclose their remote locations to utilize that ability, which, as you can all know, that maybe having that public of information about your home or your hospital room might not really be very practical. So in 2021, through an ordinance by Supervisor Melgar, we finally put into effect what the charter amendment would do. And it was passed unanimously by this Board of Supervisors. So it put in the admin code the ability to allow for parental leave policy for both the board and commissions. And we were actively working with state legislature to update the Brown Act so that it could accommodate for childbirth, parental leave, and a whole host of other issues since we have seen during the pandemic. Unfortunately, many of those failed. But we do have an update to the Brown Act that does allow for limited teleconferencing, and that's what we are going to be utilizing today through this board motion. So while this is a step in the right direction, we still have a long ways to go. We're hoping that we can continue to push for the Brown Act to be more practical for caregivers, and hopefully we'll also see this on the state floor and the national level, as you've seen time and time again with members of Congress not being able to vote by proxy in the event that they are pregnant or have other child care issues or even health issues. So with that, I really hope that we can count on your support today as a committee report. And I also want to thank the work of President Mandelman's office, the clerk's office, and the city attorney's office for providing their assistance in making this board motion possible. And of course, we really congratulate Supervisor Sauter, who will be able to utilize this this policy and hopefully open the door for many, many others that will use this policy in the future. And as you know, caregiving does unfortunately burn in women a lot. And during Women's History Month, this is actually very timely to do so. So thank you so much, and I hope to count on your support.
Thank you, Ms. Lowe, and thank you, Supervisor Melgar, for leading on this motion. I'm personally grateful that this needed change is finally happening, and I want to add myself as a co-sponsor. Seeing no colleagues on the roster, Mr. Clerk, let's go to public comment on this item.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any speakers on this matter? There are no public commenters on this matter.
Okay, public comment is closed. I would like to make a motion to send this to the full board with a positive recommendation as a committee report.
On that motion, Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Walton, excused. That motion passes without objection.
Okay, the motion passes. Let's go to item number two.
Item number two is ordinance amending the administrative code to permit, for reasons that may compromise personal safety, redactions of information otherwise required in the annual economic statement of city-funded organizations.
President Mandelman.
Thank you, Chair Sherrill. This piece of legislation has been a bit of a journey for us. The underlying legislation was adopted in 2023, which amended Section 10.1 of the Administrative Code relating to thresholds for nonprofit reporting and adding a number of new requirements, not for new disclosures. Much of the information that was required there was already required to be disclosed in different forms, but this was sort of going to have everything all in the same easy to find place related to these organizations. As the mood of the country changed, organizations, particularly queer organizations, found themselves under increasing, often violent threat. Folks approached me about potentially amending that legislation to provide some protection for those LGBTQ serving organizations. We worked on some legislation to do that and had that here in this committee a couple of weeks ago. But in the process of that conversation, we learned that a number of other organizations doing work for communities under threat and under heightened threat felt that even with the rather modest changes that I was proposing, that they were still made more vulnerable to harassment and even violence than they were prior to 2023. So we got together with the city administrator's office, and thank you, Sophie Hayward, for your work on with us. Thanks, Beverly Upton, for your work, and came up with, I think, a bigger reform that will work for more organizations. The information will still need to be disclosed. We're still requiring some additional information that was not required before 2023 to be submitted, but we're not going to make it quite so easy for the potential harassers out there and ill-wishers to do harm to organizations serving vulnerable communities. So I've circulated the proposed additional amendments to my amendment, and I'll just kind of generally walk through what these amendments do. So they take the nonprofit reporting requirements and raise the threshold up to $1 million, which is consistent with, as you'll see on page 3, the federal single audit standard, which is a federal standard for when audits are can be required, and this number will go up if we adopt this legislation as the federal single audit standard goes up. Then the second thing that we did was we took out requirements that this this disclosure under this section have a whole bunch of information itemized through one. You'll see 1 through 5 on pages 1 and 2 have been struck. That information still needs to be disclosed in various forms. We're just not going to make it all super easily available for potential ill-doers, as I said. And then the last thing is in response to feedback from particularly the DV community, changing the standard for redaction under 10.1b2 to be a standard of to protect personal safety where an organization has a reasonable basis to believe disclosure may lead to harm to their agents, employees, or officers, which is going to be more manageable for them and more protective than the standard Y was previously proposing. So those are the three big changes, you know, again, at a time when our most vulnerable populations are under attack. This legislation is going to protect the folks who are providing critical services to San Franciscans from unjust retaliation. Again, thanks to Sophie Hayward and Angela Yip and Molly Peterson from the City Administrator's Office. I want to thank Melanie Mathewson in my office, Beverly, of course, and the other nonprofit service providers who assisted us with this. I'd like us to vote on the amendment today, but because the amendments are substantive, the legislation will have to sit for until the next Rules Committee, which I believe is 2 weeks. So,
great. Thank you, President Mandelman. Mr. Clerk, let's go to public comment.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes.
Hello. I just like to put this into some context. Back in 2023, the current president of the board initiated the repeal of October 2016 ordinance that prohibited city-funded travel to states that reduced protections for LGBTQ plus people. So he prepared San Francisco to not take an economic stand against this Trumpian fascism, being more interested in the economy than morality. At the time, this is what I had to say about that. We trans people keep using Germany and Nazis as a comparison to what's going on right now in this country because it's the most similar scenario that we're going through. If 300 plus anti-Semitic laws were passed in 1.5 months, do you think now would be the time to repeal this ordinance in pre-war Germany to make it easier and cheaper to work with Nazis? That's what I said at the time. Well, that's what happened, and we are just dependent on the Democrats, I guess, to work with these Trumpian fascists. So thanks for that. With this current legislation, good on you for making it easier for some LGBTQ plus people to hide from the people you're so determined to do business with.
Good morning, supervisors. Good morning, Rules Committee. Beverly Upton, San Francisco Domestic Violence Consortium. So happy to be here this morning. As we all know, San Francisco is being watched very closely. And domestic violence survivors are used to being watched very closely. Survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, trafficking, and so many other areas and issues receive help in San Francisco and want to give back. And so I really want to appreciate President Mandelman, his staff, Sophie, and City Administrator Chu's staff in helping us to shape something that gives survivors and so many other people in other marginalized communities an opportunity to give back without fear. There's still domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, trafficking, and so much harm doing happening in San Francisco in the shadows. And we just want to make sure that we keep people as safe as possible, and this will help us do that. Thank you so much.
Are there any additional speakers on this matter? There are no additional public commenters.
Public comment is closed. I'd like to make a motion to accept the amendments as dictated by President Mandelman, excuse me, and to continue this item to the April 7th meeting.
Yes, on the motion to amend and continue as amended to April 7th, Member Mandelman. Mandelman, aye. Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Walton, excuse. That motion passes without objection.
Okay, motion passes. Let's go to item number 3.
Item number 3 is ordinance amending the administrative code to create the Castro Upper Market Entertainment Zone located at 18th Street between Diamond and Sanchez, Castro Street between 19th and State Street, Market Street between Collingwood and Church, Church Street between 14th and 15th Street, 14th Street between Belcher and Landers Street, and Noe Street between Beaver and Market Street, and 16th Street between Market and Pond Streets to clarify the boundaries of the existing area entertainment zone and affirming the Planning Department's determination under the California Environmental Quality Act.
Okay, thank you. President Mandelman, floor is yours.
Thank you again, Chair Cheryl. Another more windier road than I was expecting with this legislation. We considered it on March 17th. I needed to make a substantive amendment to modestly tinker with the map, and so it was continued to today. And I would ask that we forward this to the full board with positive recommendation.
Thank you, President Mandelman. Personally, I'm a big fan of entertainment zones, and I'm really glad to see you pushing these and seeing them popping up more across the city. Clerk, can we go to public comment, please?
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this matter should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes.
I was here for the last public comment that was taken on this piece of legislation, and a lot of businesses wanted to increase their business, said that tourism hadn't bounced back to pre-pandemic levels and whatnot, which is understandable. I would just like to remind people that America in general will receive less tourism internationally as well, since people generally don't like the whole Trump fascism stuff. So I don't know what the plan is to economically recover from being under fascist dictatorship in San Francisco, but that should also be taken into consideration. It's also stupid and selfish to not acknowledge that the cost of living issues and homelessness issues that are happening in San Francisco, also nationally, to not acknowledge that they also impact businesses. If people can't afford to live, they can't afford to spend extra money at these businesses. So I just can't underline how extremely selfish and stupid it is to not seriously address homelessness in a way that takes care of it, not hides people or punishes people for it.
Hi, good morning. I'm Leilani Powers, and I'm here representing a neighborhood restaurant called Starbelly at 16th and Market. And right now we're just off the entertainment zone, which we've recognized that the Castro Night Market brings a lot of new people into the neighborhood from all over the Bay Area and beyond. And we really feel that we could participate more in something like that and recognize that it could potentially lead to, you know, new people and new exposure for the restaurant, as it has been quite a struggle for the last few years for a lot of businesses in the neighborhood. So we would just like to see it expanded to just be a little bit more inclusive of more of the Castro neighborhood. Thank you.
Are there any additional speakers for this matter? There are no additional speakers.
Okay, public comment is closed. I would like to make a motion to send this to the full board with a positive recommendation.
Yes. On that motion, Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Cheryl.
Aye.
Cheryl, aye. Walton, excused. That motion passes without objection.
Motion passes. Okay, let's go to item number 4, please.
Item number 4, motion approving and rejecting the Treasurer's nomination of Megan Wallace to the Treasury Oversight Committee, term ending June 17, 2026.
I'm told that Megan Wallace is in the chamber. There we go. All right. Excellent. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Supervisors. Good morning. My name is Megan Wallace, and I am currently serving as the Interim Deputy Director of Finance and Administration at the Port of San Francisco. I'm honored to be considered for the San Francisco Treasury Oversight Committee to represent the port. Notably, this would be my second time serving on the committee, as I previously represented the San Francisco Unified School District, or SFUSD, between 2019 and 2022. I believe I'm well suited for this seat, given my over 17 years in public service, which have been dedicated to aligning public resources with organizational goals and priorities, and reinforcing strong financial oversight, which I believe is essential to maintaining the public's trust. My journey began in the Environment Branch of the White House Office of Management and Budget in 2007 and 2008, and then I came to San Francisco and began my career within the city. First, I served over 2 years in the San Francisco's mayor's office, first under Mayor Newsom and then Mayor Lee, before I transitioned over to the Port of San Francisco in 2011, where I served 8 years, first as the budget manager, later finance director. Then I went to SFUSD, serving between 2019 and 2022 as the chief financial officer. It was at that time that I served on the Treasury Oversight Committee. In 2022, I then returned to the port, served as the economic recovery manager, and most recently have been placed in the interim deputy director role over finance and administration. Throughout my career, I've remained committed to responsible financial management and ensuring public resources are effectively allocated to advance the mission of the organizations that I serve. Now approaching 2 decades as a public servant, 14 years as a San Francisco resident, and as a parent of 2 children who have been born and raised within this city, I remain deeply committed to transparency and sound financial stewardship. At both SFUSD and the Port, I've worked to navigate complex financial challenges, collaborate with diverse stakeholders, and implement policies that balance economic growth with fiscal responsibility. I believe all of these elements in my background and my experiences make me well suited to be a strong contributing member to the committee. Serving again on the Treasury Oversight Committee would be a valuable opportunity to apply my expertise to safeguard the city's financial health and maintain the public trust. And I look forward to this opportunity to contribute. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wallace, for being in chambers today, and especially for putting your hand up to continue to engage in public service and frankly be a fiscal steward of one of our important agencies. Thank you for doing this. Seeing no names on the roster, Mr. Clerk, can we go to public comment?
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this matter can line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any speakers on this matter? There are no speakers.
Okay, public comment is closed. And I'd like to make a motion to send this to the full board with a positive recommendation.
I believe you will need to amend it to delete the word rejecting throughout the legislation.
I apologize. Can I make a motion to amend this item to remove the word rejecting and remove the word objecting. Can you help me out here with the text?
Yes,
a little bit?
I believe the motion will be amended to delete rejecting throughout the legislation and to recommend the matter to the board.
Yes, okay.
As amended.
So a motion to remove the word rejecting and move to send this to the full board with a positive recommendation.
As amended.
As amended.
Yes, on that motion, Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Walton, excuse. That motion passes without objection.
Motion passes. Let's go to item number 5.
Item number 5. It's a hearing concerning appointing one member term ending April 27, 2026 to the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force. We have 1 seat, 4 applicants.
Okay, let's have the applicants who are in the chamber come up to speak about why they hope to be on the task force. So let's go in order here, starting with America Nichelle Sanchez.
Hi there. Thank you, Board of Supervisors, for having me here today. My name is America Sanchez, and I am a San Francisco resident in District 10. I have been serving on commissions for the past 7 years. I started my journey of public service on the Southeast Community Facilities Commission. I was on that commission for 6 years. I'm currently on the Human Rights Commission, and I've had 1 year of service with that commission. I'm very interested in this seat for the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force. I hope you received, I had a few different letters of recommendation from several members of my of the Eastern Neighborhood Democratic Club. We had board members that spoke on my behalf or wrote on my behalf. I also had a couple of well-respected community members speak on my behalf. I also had the United Educators of San Francisco board member, who's also our union co-chair at my school, speak on my behalf. So my day job is a school principal, and I believe that that experience of working with regard to labor relations, policy interpretation, and just overall public transparency brings a well-rounded perspective to the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force. I have a background in navigating through various bureaucratic systems. I work at a very unique school where we actually partner with a lot of government entities, but also a lot of community-based organizations. And I think just my ability to navigate through those various systems, balancing stakeholder interest, and ensuring compliance with legal requirements makes me well-equipped to uphold government transparency and accountability. And I very much am honored by the opportunity to be considered for this task force. And I'm here to answer any questions you have, or I don't know, do I ask, is this an opportunity to ask questions, or do I just give my presentation?
If any of my colleagues have questions, they can ask.
Okay.
If you have questions that you would like to ask, you should feel, I would invite you to ask any
also,
questions.
Also, yes.
Okay. No, I think that's the main gist of it. You know, I think just highlighting just a few things of understanding public accountability and transparency as a school administrator, I think, is a very transferable skill. Navigating through government processes, that is something that I, you know, have as a skill with my role as an administrator, but also with the different commissions I've been on. Balancing competing interests, handling confidential and public information is something that I feel is also a skill set. And then obviously my experience with public hearings and open meetings. I mean, even as a school administrator, you know, my familiarity with the Brown Act and, you know, having school board meetings that I attend and prepare for, I think make me prepared for this role. And then just overall legal and policy interpretation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any questions from my colleagues?
Well, more of, I guess, a comment. I have not actually had the opportunity to talk directly to you, although I know you've talked to my legislative aide a number of times. And I do want to thank you for your interest in this, in serving on this task force, and then your prior service to the city, as well as the work you do as your day job. I've said this in prior hearings where we have discussed the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force, but since you're new to this conversation, I do want to say this here, which is Sunshine is very important. It's important to the public. We want to be as transparent and accessible as we can, and there's also a cost. And I have sometimes thought about asking the budget and legislative analyst to try to figure out how much time and resource goes into responding to Sunshine requests.
Yes.
Sometimes from the same people, sometimes in ways that are, you know, certainly excessively burdensome, sometimes harassing. And I think it is important for me that members of this task force are, of course, committed to Sunshine and also committed to trying to prevent Sunshine from swallowing up the, you know, the government that is supposed to be sunshined. And I think
Absolutely.
It is a balance. And from the conversations that I know that you've had with my aide, I know you've talked some about that with her. But it's a real thing. And as you delve into this, if you end up moving forward, you know, I hope you'll come to us with thoughts about how the work of the task force can be improved, how the underlying legislation could be improved. I think we're pretty interested in that. So that's my comment.
I agree. Yeah, I think it's both the labor cost of preparing all the materials and then obviously just the financial cost of all the paper and, you know, other expenses that come with it. And I just wonder and worry about how other folks' time could be used to better serve the city and county of San Francisco when it may feel like there may be a, the individuals that you described that, you know, might make it challenging. Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is Cynthia Dye here? Okay, I don't see Cynthia Dye. Honest Charlie Bodkin, if you'd like to speak.
Thank you. Good to be back. I struggle with this microphone. It's normal. There was a BLA report in 2012 on the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force, so it's a good read. And there's also some facts and figures published or that will be published in a forthcoming annual report. I believe there's just a draft right now. But to my remarks, I'm honored to return to discuss this important appointment to the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force. I'd like to share with you my plan, should I have the honor of being appointed to the task force. But first, I'd like to quickly address something unfortunate that a supporter of one of the other applicants accused me of last hearing. This will be quick. The person essentially said that, unlike their candidate, I don't use my words to resolve conflicts. He was referring or alluding to an SF Gate article about me that was published last year. The author of this article in question misrepresented an already deceptively edited YouTube video about me, produced not by a trained journalist, but by a multimillionaire tech founder who told me that his intent with the video afterwards was to quote-unquote bully me. The author's article did not reach out to me for comment and got the facts wrong. The truth is that 5 years ago, I was attacked by an intoxicated bartender, and I defended myself, fearing for my life. This bar is known for its staff getting intoxicated on the job, and I could provide a copy of an online social media post from another customer who stated he was too attacked by the bar's owner. Now moving on to my favorite subject, which is the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force. I'd like to discuss improvements, starting with improving the efficiency of the task force average number of days to hold hearings on complaints, which is currently at 333 days, according to the latest 2024 annual report that I previously mentioned. Legally, the task force is only obligated to hold a hearing if the complainant specifically requests one, but I believe we could administratively provide much faster resolutions for the vast majority of complaints, saving both the task force, the complainants, and department staff's time. This could really help speed up the process, particularly since it usually takes more than two scheduled hearings, 2.2 to be exact, before complaints are resolved. I also believe in expanding training of city staff, but that will largely be for naught if we don't also undertake modernization efforts. The task force isn't and shouldn't be seen purely as a cop policing departments' compliance, and while yes, that's part of the job, the task force should also work together in partnership with departments, the Board of Supervisors, and the mayor's office to find creative ways to implement citywide goals, like that of Mayor Daniel Lorry when he announced during his inauguration this January that, quote, our first step in streamlining our crisis response is to mandate that all departments coordinate to build and maintain a single public-facing street conditions dashboard. The mayor went on to say, you can't build strong solutions without good data. The task force ought to work with the controller's office, for example, given their new Prop C power, to require periodic or special reports of departmental operations, contracts, revenues, and expenditures to standardize reporting requirements across city contracts and departments and publish that data and information in formats that are easily consumed by the public. The task force needs to and should be having hearings on ways it can work together with specific offices to facilitate data management and access by the public. I believe I would make a great appointee for this position, given not just that I was the only applicant here today that attended the last task force meeting, which, not to scare anyone off, went 7 hours long and lasted until 11 p.m. By the way, the chair said that I had quite a bit of stamina for being there that entire time. I also believe I had the right experience with public records through many years working in and with the media at the LA Times, my former employer, and at my startup where we worked with numerous media publications, including Vox Media and CalMatters, now my blog, thecityandcounty.com. I went over a lot of my credentials and qualifications last time, so I won't repeat them here. Should I have the honor of being selected for this appointment, I won't let you down. Thank you. I'm available for any questions if you have them.
Thank you. Colleagues, any comments? Thanks. Okay, thank you all very much. I want to make note that Kartik Sathapan has submitted a letter on behalf of his application to my office. I printed extra copies to share with President Mandelman and the clerk for official record. Seeing no names on the roster, clerk, let's go to public comment on this item.
Yes, members of the public who wish to comment on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Peter Chudinoff. I live in the Mission District of this wonderful city. I am an interdisciplinary scientist by training and trade who has held positions at UCSF and San Francisco State, and I'm here to express my support for Anna Charlie Bodkin's application for the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force. It's been a few years that I've known Charlie as a friend, as an admirer of his political ambitions. It's been a great pleasure knowing him and observing him day to day, and I believe that he's a great candidate for this position. He always was a big advocate for government's transparency, making endless requests to the city data and driving his decisions based on the data he has acquired. He made countless appearances in this very room, raising questions that were always geared to protect cities' ordinary folk while taking interests of economy drivers into consideration. Over the past 2 years, during his own and Dylan Herschel's mayoral campaigns, mind you, absolutely sober and polite, he kept track of all election polling and other campaigning data, being first in line to announce and address rapid changes to the political landscape of the city, working countless hours, day and night, to do outreach, speak to, and help ordinary San Franciscans. And allowing Dylan to actually rake in thousands of votes from those city dwellers. If this doesn't demonstrate Charlie's intelligence and dedication, I don't know what does. This position, with its relatively low stakes, would be a great place for Charlie to show his true ability to handle city's affairs, especially in a city, while being a witch is a tremendous concern for him. He's clear of mind, he's a great decision maker, and a lover of San Francisco and dedicated to its success. The city prides itself on progressivism and opportunity, but it has become unaffordable. Am I out of time? Well,
speaker time has elapsed. Thank you.
Thank you. Am I allowed to? No. Okay. Thanks. It's time to introduce some young blood into the government. Thanks.
Yes, let's introduce blood into the government. This is a statement by the Harvey Milk LGBTQ Democratic Club about the Sunshine Task Force appointment. I don't know if anyone in City Hall cares what they think anymore. But they said, "We are disappointed that Board President Raphael Mandelman has chosen to derail Cynthia Dye, a qualified queer candidate for the Sunshine Task Force, simply because he disagrees with her. This is not how you foster good governance. This is politics, plain and simple. Thank you."
Good morning, Supervisor. My name is Falo Futa, and I have the honor to recommend America Sanchez for the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force. Ms. Sanchez works as the Vice Chair of the Southeast Community Facility Commissioner. As given her direct insight into the importance of the government transparency of public accountability, when I serve on a commissioner with her, I observed that she ensured community voices were heard. Public resources were distributed equitably and government agency remaining accessible to the people they serve. Additionally, our work as a commissioner requires reviewing policies, facilitating public meeting, and working with the city officials, all of which align with the task force mission of upholding open meeting laws and public records access. I believe Ms. Sanchez will continue to ensure that our local government remains transparent, and inclusive, and will work very hard to serve in this capacity if appointed to the Sunshine Audience Task Force. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Are there any additional speakers for this matter? There are no additional speakers.
Okay, public comment is closed. Thank you all for engaging in this process and for applying to serve on the public on this task force. I echo President Mandelman's remarks. This task force is extremely important, both in upholding a high standard of transparency, accessibility, but also in efficiency. Personally, I'm very confident in America Sanchez's work, ability to do the work on this task force and accomplish this very high standard. As such, I'd like to make a motion to approve America Sanchez to seat 10 of the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force and send this motion to the full board with a positive recommendation.
Yes, on that motion, Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Walton, excuse. That motion passes without objection.
Motion passes. Mr. Clerk, are there any more items before us today?
That completes the agenda for today.
There is no further business. The meeting is now adjourned.